title I gave to this passage for myself was Do's, Don'ts and Consequences. Do's, Don'ts and Consequences. And that's what I'd like to focus on in our sermon this morning. The heading in my Bible, as I mentioned, for Joshua chapter 23, which is the given passage for this week, is Joshua's Farewell to the Leaders. We've got one more chapter to go, chapter 24, and this will give us Joshua's farewell, his recorded last words to the people as a whole, and that's Martin's passage for next week. It's clear that Joshua was now quite elderly. He talked, didn't he, as we saw, about, I am very old. And he says later, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. In other words, he knew that his death was imminent. As they say, there are two things we can't avoid, death and taxes. It's got 100% success rate as death. It's something we all have to face and all have to deal with. We don't know how long Joshua lived after these verses, after these chapters recorded for us. We'll read at the end of chapter 4 that he died aged 110. And so these are his last words to the leaders. And you can imagine that knowing he would have very few further opportunities to leave advice with them, he would have thought very carefully about what he wanted to say to them on this last occasion. Because often, as we know, a person's last words are often regarded as very important. We talk, don't we, about famous last words. And Joshua, as he thought about what he wanted to say, I'm sure would have carefully chosen the themes of the message that he wanted to leave with the leaders. He would have wanted to touch on key issues that they would need to deal with in the future as they went ahead without him. He had a history of going back into the days of Egypt. He had been there at the Passover. He had been through the Red Sea. He had been through the desert. He had become Moses' servant. He'd been there towards the top of the mountain when the law was given. He'd seen all the miracles that God did for his people. He'd been one of the spies who went into the promised land and brought back the good news. And he and Caleb were the only ones of that generation who actually went into the promised land. He had a great history and experience behind him. And I'm sure that he was well regarded by the people that he led. And so now he's going to leave with them some of the key things that they needed to know and to remember and to put into practice. Things they should be doing and things they should be not doing. And he wanted to remind them that the choices they made as to what they did and didn't do would have consequences. What I'd like us to do is to look at these do's and don'ts and to apply them to ourselves, because I think there are principles here that are just as valid for us in our Christian pathway and our Christian lives as they were for God's people in those days, in their lives, and as they moved into the new land God had given them. So the first do I've got was this. Do learn from the past, says Joshua. Do learn from the past. He says in verse 3, for example, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done. You've seen it. It's in the past, but you've witnessed it and you've been part of it. And then he said in verse 14 that we had right at the beginning, he says, you know that with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. You know, he said, you've seen it and you know. This has been your experience up to now. And he said, I want you to go on remembering that, to learn from the past, to remember it, and so that it can stand you in good stead for the future. This would help the people as they went into the new land, as they settled there, as they established themselves, as they built a new nation, to know that God had been with them in the past, that his promises had been kept in the past, could give them assurance that he would be with them in the present and in the future, and that the promises he had made that the land would be theirs would be 100% kept, because God is faithful. He works on behalf of his people, and he will always keep his promises. Can I suggest too that we too need to learn that lesson, to learn from the past. And I think there are two ways we can learn from the past. We should be able to learn from our past mistakes. Now, I, in my long driving career, have had two collisions, minor collisions, that have been exactly the same. I have reversed out of a drive and hit a car that was parked on the opposite side of the road. Twice that has happened to me. The first time you'd say, all right. Second time, that's silly. If it was to happen a third time, that would be foolish, wouldn't it? So every time I go from my house now, I look to see if there is a car parked opposite my drive. And I'm very, very careful in reversing. I know I can explain the poor decision away. I was looking for traffic coming on the left and coming from the right, and I wasn't thinking about what was behind. I can explain it away, but it happened. And I've learned, I trust, from that mistake. And so it can be in our ordinary lives, in our Christian lives, we should learn from the past, from past mistakes, and make sure that we don't repeat those poor choices, that we don't repeat that behavior that we know caused hurt to someone, that the actions that we take and do are right rather than the wrong that we might have done in the past. And learning spiritually too. To learn from our past, to learn the things that we've done wrong in our Christian lives, the things when we've wandered away, the things that caused us to wander, we can learn from these things and it can bring us back and keep us on the pathway. And that's what Joshua wanted them to do, to learn from the past. They had things that they had done as a people that they could regret. They should have believed the spies. They should have gone into the land after just a couple of years. Instead, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Things they could learn from the past. Things they could avoid so they didn't make the same mistakes in the future. But I think they had to learn from the past too in a positive way. They could remember God's goodness in the past, and that would encourage them for the future. And so it will be for us. To learn Joshua's message, to look at what God has done for us in the past, so that that gives us assurance and encouragement for the future. That a God who has been faithful to us and has kept us in years gone by, we can be assured as a God who is faithful and will keep us in the years to come too. The people were to be encouraged to press on, to go on, to complete what they had been asked to do. And we're asked to complete the work of God in our lives. We too can rely on the promises of God to help us as we've been thinking about. He is the faithful one. What a faithful God we have. Great is his faithfulness. And we can say, as we sang in that new hymn, I will stand on every promise of God's word. So the do is, to the people and to us, learn from the past. Here's the second do. Joshua says to the people, hold fast. We've got that in verse number 8. He says to them, hold fast to the Lord your God. Hold fast. We've got the grandchildren coming down to see us next week from Kent. And one of the places they'll go to is the play park on the front at Lee. And one of the things they'll do is climb on the climbing frame. You know, they scamper up to the very top. You know, they hang on with one hand. Or they turn over somersaults, you know, hanging on the bars. And what do we say to them? Hold on, hold on. Joshua's messages to the people is, hold on to the Lord your God. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your trust in him. Don't let it go. They were going to have difficulties. They were going to have problems establishing themselves and building a nation. But Joshua's thing is, hold on. Don't let go. Don't let these things slip. And we too in our lives can know hardships and difficulties. Perhaps even discouragements. Perhaps we know what it is to have our prayers not answered in the way we had hoped. Perhaps we've had events come along us and our families that we find it difficult to cope with. Perhaps ill health dogs us and makes our life very difficult. But surely Joshua's word to the people is the same word for us today. Hold fast. Keep on holding on to God and to our faith. Don't give up. The Bible says, as we had in one of our promises, that Jesus already has us in his hand and nobody can snatch them away. But we can let go of him, as it were. But a verse from Hebrews says this, Hebrews 3 verse 6, hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Hold firm to our confidence and hope. We can move forward with confidence and hope because God is faithful. He has given us his promises. They are sure, they are steadfast, and they are trustworthy. And so this gives us every encouragement to hold on to our faith with confidence and hope. Joshua said to the people, be very strong and hold on. Be very strong and hold on. There are times in our lives when, like Joshua, you remember the message that was given to him, be strong and very courageous. Where we've got to almost grit our teeth and hang on through the difficult times, knowing that God will see us through. I think I've said before, the Christian faith isn't for wimps. It's for heroes. Heroes that we can be as we hold on with confidence and hope. The third do I see is this. Do obey the book. We get that in verse number 6. Be careful to obey all that's written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Obey the book. Their law that God had given to them and that formed the first five parts of our Old Testament particularly was their handbook. It was to be their guide. It was to be their code of conduct. And Joshua says, be careful to obey it. We, of course, have a book to obey. It's our Bible, isn't it? God's written word for us. It contains the law of Moses, but so much more than that. And as we read our Bibles, we see that, yes, the Old Testament ways of doing things have been superseded because the Lord Jesus has come. We're in a new covenant, a new testament. Things are done differently now. So we recognize as we look at the Old Testament, it's of value because there are principles there that we can put into effect and we can apply. But our Bibles for us today are our inspired book from God. It's a handbook by which we can gain instruction in our faith, in what we believe and why. It can be our guide to the past, our guide for the present, and our guide to what the future will hold. And it's our code of conduct that we can live by and showing us how we ought to believe, how we ought to live. It's easy to know and read the Bible, but a lot harder to put it into practice. A lot harder to obey its commands and instructions, to do its do's and to avoid its don'ts. But that's what we're asked to do. And it can be a great help to us in our Christian lives. What about a don't? Well, we have it several times in our reading, didn't we? Don't, I've called it, get diverted. Don't be diverted. And this seems to be the main point that Joshua wants to get across to these people. He says, so look at everything God has done for you. Go on trusting him. You're going to be living in a society that's religious with its own gods, but they're pagans. They don't know the true God. And so he says in verse 7, as we read together, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods. And then he goes on to say that if they turn aside from following the true God, they will suffer the consequences. He's saying to the people, look, it's easy to absorb the religion of the people you're living with. You want to get on with them. They seem to be doing all right. So gradually, your faith in the Lord goes down and you start to believe in the false gods that they believe. You start to worship their idols. You get dragged into their ways of doing things. If you marry into their society, then you risk the danger of losing your own identity as the followers of Jehovah. You risk being absorbed into following the idols and leaving the true faith. Can I suggest that there's a principle here for us too? It's very easy for us to fall into the ways of the sort of secular world in which we all have to live. That secular atheistic society, that goes its own way without consideration of what are God's ways. We can't help but be part of it. But we can and should be careful not to let its attitudes and its unacceptable behaviour and its immorality to, as it were, infect us, to get into us, so that we become indistinguishable. We get diverted from the true pathway of following Jesus Christ, and we become just like everybody else. That ought not to be the way it should be. Remember what we were saying when we were looking at the Transform series. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed. And Joshua was saying the same to the people, and he says to us, you know, don't let the world around us squeeze us into its mold. It may not be idolatry as such, they may not be worshipping idols, but it just drags us away from our Christian faith, and our Christian faith becomes less and less important to us, and that ought to be how we should behave. The answer perhaps is in verse number 11, where he says, be careful to love the Lord your God. Interesting, he says, be careful, doesn't he? Be careful, think about it. Be aware of the dangers of falling away. Be careful to love the Lord your God, rather than other things. And lastly, he speaks about the consequences in verses 12 and 13. He says, you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you. He says, if you violate the covenant and go and serve other gods, the Lord's anger will burn against you. There will be consequences for the do's and the don'ts. The people were under the old covenant. It was important to them that they obeyed that covenant. That was the basis of it. They said at Mount Sinai, when they were presented with the law, all that the Lord has said, we will do. The old covenant, the old agreement, the old contract between God and his people was they would do what God has said. And should they not do what God has said, there would be consequences for them, even to the extent of the Lord's anger burning against them and they being thrown out of the land. Now we know in history that's what happened. The people did not listen to Joshua. They got involved with the idols around them. They turned their back on God, and the time came when God judged the nations and they were sent off into exile. They lost the land for a period until they were able to return. For us, it's different. Our relationship with God does not depend on what I do. My relationship with God, in a sense, at its basic foundation level, depends on what Jesus has done for me. But we need to remember, if we are choosing to live our lives without God, if we're choosing to live our lives as if we don't want him, and if we choose to turn our back on the gospel and on the offer of salvation that Jesus we make in Jesus, then there are consequences for us. Eternal consequences. We lose out on all the blessings of life with God in this life, but we also lose out because instead of heaven, there is a place for us of eternal damnation. The message of the gospel, the message of the good news is Jesus, is that because of God's love and grace and mercy, our sinfulness and the alienation from God that it causes can be forgiven. We can be brought into a new relationship with God that depends on what Jesus has done for me. And it's on that basis God is willing to forgive me and to bring me into his family. That doesn't mean to say that we've got license to live just how we like and it doesn't matter what we do. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that having been brought into that relationship, we want to live the sort of life that pleases God and pleases the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. We can enjoy all the blessings that God is willing to give us as part of his family, as part of the people of God, and that promise of an eternal home. And that consequence is ours when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and become his followers. Do's and don'ts and consequences for us to consider. Do learn from the past, said Joshua. May it help you in the future. Do hold fast to your faith. Don't let it slip. Do obey the book. Use it and be careful to obey it. Don't get diverted. Don't become like the world around you. Don't let it squeeze you into its mold. Continue on the faith that you have and see it through to the end. Be aware of